Welcome to Ideagen Insights.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ideagen's official podcast series focusing on topics of interest to internal auditors across Europe and North America in 2023. My name is Stephanie Jones, and I am the product manager for internal audit here at Ideagen. In each episode of our podcast series, we will look at a specific topic and evaluate the impact it will have on internal audit departments. And in today's episode, we will be discussing audit reports. And I'm very pleased to be joined by John Darling. John is the head of internal audit at the University of Birmingham, and he has spoken on the topic of audit reports for the Chartered Institute of Internal Auditors. John, would you like to introduce yourself further and speak a bit more to your background?
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me on. Great honor to be invited on to speak to you and listeners today. I'm head of internal audit at University of Birmingham, 20 odd years in internal audit and risk management, range of different sectors and organisations, also involved in the IIA in the UK, in particular the Aspire Network for Early Career Auditors, and our Midlands region as well. I also am vice chair of a local adult further education college and chair of audit committee there, chair of the board of trustees for a charity that supports victims of domestic violence. And then when I do have a little bit of spare time, I'm a sports nut, so big Sheffield Wednesday football fan, Minnesota Vikings fan, Yorkshire cricket, and anything else I can do with a little bit of spare time that I get.
Oh, I love that. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, so, and I have been for a long time, so we'll have to have a different podcast on that someday. Well, sounds like you have a lot of great experience in the internal audit industry and in your various volunteer positions and professional roles. So I'm so glad that you are joining us today. So let's just dive right into it. So why do you believe that effective audit reports are so important?
Well, I think of it as being our final product. You know, it's the lasting record that's always going to be there of what our audit achieved, what we found, and the change that we've made in the end. It's, you know, documentation's key, of course. It's the way that we get our message across to people in the important positions who can influence things, who can make change happen. We can recognize what's going on that's good and that commend people with the good actions that they're doing. Also call out where we can make things better, where we can make some improvements. So it's the thing that will always last and carry our message. I think it also shows a lot about your approach and your ethos as an audit function. There's a bit of a window into the soul almost, because there's no one way of doing this. And it's about finding an effective way that delivers the message that you've got as an auditor and delivers that to your stakeholders in an organization. And of course, there's many various people within that. There's the management team that you're working with. There's the senior executives. There's those charged with governance, regulators. You know, certainly in our industry may be having an interest. So there's a lot of people that's involved within that you've got to talk to through this process. And because you've got that blank sheet of paper almost, when you're first saying, right, how do I want my audit report to look? What kind of methods do I want to use? I think really can show your approach, what kind of organization you're in, just the innovation that you yourself have through your function. It depends about what you're doing in your industry. I know that within the organization that I work in now and have previously, you want something that's going to land with them. And you know, some have been more traditional organizations, wanting very structured, quite old style reports. Others have been much more open to, well, how do we get this message across? When I came to university, we got one particular reporting style. I've changed that quite a bit. But I've always tried to make it relevant to the organization that I'm working in. For example, if you're working in an industry and a company that's very data heavy, you can have lots of visuals that come through, that might really well work for you and your organization. For others, it might put them off and that might distract from the message. So there's nothing wrong with the word, the box of text. It depends who you're talking to. But in the end, we're here to affect change, and the report is at the forefront of that. We want the key messages to come through. We want them to land, and we want to make sure that they're understood. And that's what we want the focus to be, rather than any details, wordings, and different views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really like that you said that it's recommendations, it's a display of information, what's good, what's working well, and perhaps what's not working quite as well and might need findings and recommendations associated with it. But pointing out that good part, I think, is a great point to make, because sometimes the impression can be that we just always bring the negativity and here's what's wrong. And so I think it's good to have that other side of it as well. So you mentioned some of the attributes that make a good audit report, and that could be tailoring it to the type of organization and having the good and the bad and all of that. What do you think are other attributes that an audit report needs to have to make it a quote unquote good quality audit report?
Well, I think firstly, it's talking to your stakeholders to work out what it is that they want. They should be telling you if things aren't effective and aren't landing. That's the best feedback that you can get. I think there's a range of things that you can stages that you can go through to make sure that these are effective and have confidence in their effectiveness. So, when it comes to reports coming through, your findings should be expected. You shouldn't be having surprises within this. It's the end of the chain, if you like. So it's where the issues can crystallize. But you might have gone through a process and not talked properly to people as you've gone through the audit. If the findings then come through as a shock, then you don't want that to happen. You want to talk to people so they are aware of what's happening, aware of what's coming through. It helps to land difficult messages, I think, if you've done it that way. Because we're not here to ambush people by the end of it. And you can have a bit of a shock when you see something, the end having been through the audit, but you want to talk it through. And so people are aware of what's going to happen before it comes through. I think speed is also an important part of this whole reporting process. The closer that we are to the fieldwork completing and then having that debrief, makes it more valuable and impactful and a better product at the end. We want to make sure that we're issuing those reports really as close as we can to the field work. As that time expands, the value just diminishes because it goes out of people's minds. But findings can change, facts can change, performance can change, so might need an update to it. It becomes yesterday's news really, really quickly. So it's harder to get the momentum back in if the time expands. More difficult to get out, less valuable. So something you want to really be avoiding. I think those points all come together quite quickly. I personally like reports to be visually good. I think you want to look at it and go, that's interesting. I want to find out a bit more. We use various colours and graphics within our reports. And I think it makes it more appealing to look at and easier to read. We try and make it as short and as sharp as we can be because, reporting to people who are pretty busy, they want to know quickly what's going on. So the more visual, the more interesting it is to look at, invites people in, if you like. I'd say avoiding jargon is a really important thing. There's the TLAs, the three-letter acronyms. I'm never quite sure what a burning platform is. I don't want to be on one. But is it just a bugbear of mine? Tautologies as well. People saying something is purple in colour, but what else would it be? We export overseas. Well, where else do you export? Clichés, people tell me about, are we seeing ghosts? And I don't know what they mean. Or one really interesting review did once upon a time where people were talking about the importance of keeping our DNA. And so I asked different people what keeping our DNA meant and got five different versions of what that meant. So that kind of thing, what is low-hanging fruit? I do also have particular bugbears about people using the word obviously when it may not be obvious and the word literally when we're talking about something being metaphorical as well. But that's just me being a grumpy old guy, I think. I think we also need to be really clear when it comes to reports about what is our conclusion? And you know, we said about talk about the good and the bad things. But personally, I think our assurance drives off the good things that we see that are happening. And you know, we need to know what isn't working and what the actions are going to be that comes out from that, what we found. But we really need to be confident enough to say through our reports, these are the things we found that's going well. It's, you know, we go through our own external assessments. We all in some way will have some review goes on. And if everybody doing that came to us and said, here's a list of things that aren't going well, you go, okay, but what's going well? What should we be pleased about? What are the good things? And I think it helps an audit function as a whole land really well to get people engaged if they know it's going to be a fair and balanced outcome, that they're recognizing what's going on that's positive through that. So yeah, those are some things I think are important in making sure that we've got a good quality, confident audit report. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are great attributes. And I completely agree with that, John, everything you said, particularly around the speed of audit, the speed of the audit report. And I think that makes a big difference. And I've been in audit departments as a practitioner where the longer and more time that goes on, the worse, the harder it gets to issue it, right? Because you're exactly right. Things change, things become outdated pretty quickly. And the usefulness of the data that you're presenting has an age on it as well. So it does become critical. So I have a couple of questions on that. But the first question is, in order to increase that, or I should say decrease the length of time in issuing that audit report, do you recommend that audit report be built as you're going through the course of your audit? Also, not just for speed, but to eliminate some of those surprises.
Yeah, very much. It shouldn't be, to my mind, a cliff edge that field work into reporting, but a gradual movement across. As I've been cutting my teeth in the audit profession, what I've always done is have a document that is set up there where I just put all of my thoughts, things to look at, considerations. And when I've got potential recommendations, I just bullet point it, put an R for recommendation in bold, and then just type out what my point is from there. Because there's been numerous times where you might have 10 bullet points around that, but actually there's only 6 findings within that. But how you then move it around depends on what the message is that you have, how you think it flows, and you need to have those points down, but then refine them as you go along to then coming out as a product at the end. So that's always worked well for me because I've got a brain like a sieve. My memory just, as I'm getting old, drops things out. So having it documented and knowing that, you know, because you go through the field work and you shouldn't just be doing it for the sake of that. You should always be having an eye on what's my product going to be at the end of this. So the earlier that you're thinking about that output and that report, the easier it is to get a really solid product at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I agree. And that's very good practical advice on something that you do specifically that helps you in building that report as you go along. So thank you for that. And then when you talked about earlier about some of the attributes of a good audit report, and you mentioned again a lot of really good things, but I thought it was very interesting that you said at the start of it that you talked to the stakeholders. And so I'm curious, how are you confident as an audit manager or an audit director that your audit reports are effective? Is it going back to the stakeholders and getting their feedback, or is it your actions are, you know, taken care of promptly? Like, how do you measure, or how are you confident that your deliverable, the audit report, is being effective?
Yeah, I think it comes around to your all-round effectiveness as a function, rather than just splitting it out about is my report on any given audit a good one. But take the step back, you know, it's a fundamental part of our process. This it is the product. It has the badge on it. You know, for my world, we then go to audit committees where we summarize these and colleagues there will talk through the points that we have, and then goes on to annual reports, etc. But yeah, you know, are we landing good reports where people understand what we're saying? Yeah, you know, that's the very first basic thing. Do people actually understand what is being said? And don't underestimate where that can go a little squiffy at times if it isn't done well. So are the auditors that you're talking to understanding the points that's being made? Are those charged with governance who get things a bit further down the line? Do they understand what the issues are? And for them, do they have anything to be concerned about? Or should we be pointing out to them that this team is doing ever so well, this risk is being really well managed, so therefore they should be confident about how that's looking? Are they understanding that point? And you're obviously right. It then goes through to the follow-up of your agreed actions. If you haven't written it well, if you haven't got a clear action and how that comes across in the report, it's really difficult to get to a happy place at the end that you can sign it off as being completed. And that also comes down to the earlier in the process where you've shared your findings, you've talked through an agreed action that management think is just sensible, that you think mitigates the risk as well, that's got the right owners, the right time scales, everything through there. Again, that crystallizes in the report, but that is the tip of the iceberg of all the work that's gone on before then. I really don't like the cold approach of you do your audit work, somebody gets out of the place, writes it up, gets it approved by the manager, and then it goes over to the clients. You've got to ease your way into this and just communicate well. You know, I'd always say with this, put yourself on the other side. If you are being audited, how would you want that to look and feel? You wouldn't want to have somebody come to you, talk through the audit, do the testing and everything, go away and then just fire something cold at you later. You want to have a chat. Yeah, how's it going? What's coming out from this? So you're prepared, and then it lands and takes it further from there. I think also your reports, when it comes to your feedback from audit committees, your feedback from auditees, again, that's just another indicator about how effective that you are. That's more direct stuff. But if you can't communicate to them, you won't get great scores. That'll be reflected, and you need to do something about it. So the audit report just brings in so many different elements that you've got to get everything right. And then if it isn't right, you'll find out somewhere through the process.
Yes. And that really leads me then into my next question. That's actually a direct segue into it. So what do you think the challenges are that are preventing internal audit departments or internal auditors from getting that audit report right?
I think we maybe don't always know our audience and what they want, because there's so many ways of saying the same thing that you got to find the one that works and resonates. And from that, one of the biggest things that I did that helped me with this was go onto an audit committee myself, because then you see it on the other side and you see the wider context that's going on. And the biggest thing that you get from that is, tell me what you think and tell me quickly, so I can then decide if I want to go further and how that goes. You know, you get onto the audit committees, you've had a busy day doing your own audit work, and then you go home of the evening. Right then, I'll go through the papers now. And your heart sinks a little bit when there's 20-odd papers that's there to read, and you think, oh, no. The football's starting soon. I want to get through this as quickly as we can. What's going on? Right, I'll open the report. If you've got to hunt through to find out what the auditor thinks, the auditor, I don't think, has done a great job. They could have done a brilliant audit, because there's some really good value findings, really good assurance, great insights. But if you can't pick that out quickly enough, it's not going to be, to my mind, a great product that's in there. Mm-hmm. So knowing your audience and knowing that somebody can quickly get to the points that you're making. I do find at times I've worked with people who aren't great at actually stating the conclusion. You know, it's easier to say, oh, I've got recommendations to make on topics A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And you think, that's great. But what is the context within this? Is the risk being managed well that you're looking at? or is it not? Mm-hmm. If I'm a senior guy, if I'm the person responsible for a function involved in this, are we mitigating it properly? Have I got a problem, or is there an issue to resolve, or is it all going great and I can commend the team for how things have worked? Actually pinning people down to be confident enough to get that across, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that also is where some of those graphics and visuals come into play as well. And like you said, having that confidence to not only use the right words, but the right colors, let's say if it's red, yellow, green, red, amber, green, then that sends a message as well that, hey, this is something. I mean, that's stating a conclusion without stating a conclusion just through color. I also think, just to piggyback onto that, just at a more grassroots level within the audit department, I think they're at least in all the audit departments that I've been, there always is sort of that wordsmithing issue as well. I know that as when I was pretty early in my career, I would contribute to the audit report and then, you know, would get some feedback on that. And it's like, there's different ways to say, we all write differently, right? And then as I progress throughout my career, then I am on the other side and I'm the manager reviewing and you're looking at something and thinking, okay, that's not exactly how I would say that. So for me, I know I at least always tried to say, okay, yes, I wouldn't say it that way, but is the right message coming across? I mean, have you run into that in your career? And is that the approach that you take as well?
Oh yeah. I remember having a debate with an old audit manager of mine that I said a particular control needed to be run frequently and regularly. And he crossed it out saying that's the same thing. I said, Haley's comment is regular, but it's not frequent. They're two different things. We agreed to differ on that point. but I think it's where the different perspectives, whenever you write something, when I'm writing my committee reports, et cetera, getting other perspectives is so valuable to it because you know what you're trying to say. You've written a report. You've spent 20 odd days or however long in the detail of it. It's all in your head. It makes complete sense to you. That's great. But what your report does is it puts that knowledge to other people. And how you put it through that filter of your language is so important. And you can mean you can write things that you know what you mean by that, but when somebody picks it up, they will take a different view. They will interpret it differently. And so you do need to have. I just think the value through this process of having other people look at them and say, especially if they don't know as much about what you've been working on, get their feedback and treasure it and don't get defensive with it. If somebody picks it up and their first take is, oh, I think you're saying A and you want to actually be saying B, don't be defensive about that. They'll say that for a reason. It's the first impact and first impression that has, so use that and adapt to your style to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great advice and a way to improve the message and make sure that the message is getting across. I'm really curious, John, are you okay? So you've been in this industry for a little bit of time now. I know. As time goes on, it just and I talk about how long I've been in even at IdeaGen. It just the years add up, don't they? But as you've seen, I'm sure you've seen the audit report and audit reporting evolve over the years. So I'm curious. So this is a two part question. First, how have you seen the audit report evolve over the past period of time? And then also, do you see it changing going forward, especially as companies, as internal audit departments start to become less waterfall, more agile, or more automated, or whatever the case may be? So how has it evolved in your career, and then how do you see it evolving?
From when I started, I think audit reports were very dry. They were very much focused on the negative side. We're just going to do exception reporting about what isn't working, as though people have been crying out for to just be told about what they're doing that isn't right. The blocks of text that were out there, maybe a bit of color to it, but not very much, but quite dry writing. I think what I've seen and where it's going to go is, I think it comes down to flexibility. What we've got to do more and more is, as we say, the speed of risking increases and things keep changing, and the assurance needs for the people we report to are getting quicker and quicker. We've got to get our reporting quicker and quicker. And I think it's the flexibility, the innovation that we can show in our reporting style that's really important to this. I think people are being much more flexible in their approaches. So, for example, we've been doing a piece of work, and I just felt that our reporting formats that we had were not suitable to get the message across. There'd be things in there that would be distracting from the core message, so we changed the format to it. Because that's what's important, is getting a message across in the right way and not being a slave to a format that doesn't work and isn't optimal. Mm-hmm. I think where we're going to be going is, as data is used increasingly, as the analytics side is more and more embedded in the internal audit world, the challenge will be how to bring that element into our reporting. The piece of paper which has morphed into the electronic files and the Word documents, etc. Where does it go now? Where we've got the Power BIs of this world, where we can use the analytics tools that's out there. What's that quick, sharp, timely reporting that can provide us that gets real time when it's a real time risk that's out there? It takes a step change away that, because I think as an internal auditor, I think I've probably been trained up to be go do your work and then go away for a bit, then write a report and then bring that out and go from there. And that's great in maybe a slower paced world, but where we've got data that gives us insights really, really quickly, and we therefore have assurance conclusions that we derive from that really, really quickly, then there's no point having real-time stuff that all of a sudden stops in a roadblock and then takes 4 weeks to get out for us then to say, that buyer in the building over there is about to take the building down. It's like, why didn't you tell us about that a bit more quickly when you had that data directly to hand? So, yeah, visualizations and speed reporting, I think, is really the challenges for us to face in the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that will take away some of the kind of wording within the audit report? So maybe not lengthen the audit report through the addition of all these visuals, but just sort of change the format of the report to display information differently.
Yeah, it changes dynamics, because I think what we need to avoid is let's write a longer report. Because if you ask people who are receiving these, I don't think that they would generally be saying that the issue is that reports are too short. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is it's difficult to write short, punchy reports that get to the point really quickly with nuance and balance. It's easy to keep on writing page after page after page. You lose impact. What I think we need to do is make it shorter and more impactful. And I think that's where our skills to communicate through the written word is only going to go up. Counterintuitively, maybe, but those are really, really important skills that I just think will keep on being even more important in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've been in audit departments where we've had, where our typical audit report was, 20, 30 pages, and it was just, the first couple pages were just really a lot of nothing, to then get you to kind of finally, you had to really search for the good data. And I think that some of the things I've seen is just, that becoming more succinct in information, even without some of the analysis. And I agree going forward, a lot of the visual parts, I think we have access to more data, like you said, now than we have ever before. So being able to incorporate that into audit reports will become key. I know when I was a senior in high school, so my last year of high school, my English teacher, who was a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan, and something that stuck with me was he always preached to us how Edgar Allan Poe, every single word mattered in whatever he wrote, every word mattered. And this was long before I wanted to be an auditor, but that really stuck with me like decades later, where it was like, why do I take a different philosophy than that? I think that every word should matter too. And that's something that's always stuck with me.
I think I am absolutely 100% with you on that. And one of the examples that I've used when I've done presentations and talked to teams about reporting is I'm not very good technically with this. So what I tried to do was get Marvin Gaye singing I Heard It Through the Grapevine, which is one of the greatest songs ever written. But and having seen the a cappella version that's out on YouTube, even more so. But the first verse and chorus to that song, if you go through it, you're finding out that he's lost his love. He's devastated through it. Everybody else knew that things were going on. He didn't. You find something else is happening behind his back. He's confused. He's devastated. He's upset. He's just in all these stream of emotions. Finishing, I'm just about to lose my mind. He says that in 74 words. Now, I would say that if Marvin Gaye could talk about all those range of emotions and things that he was going through in 74 words, I think that you're finding in an audit report on control account reconciliations, you can take a few words out from it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Make every word matter.
Yeah, that is a great thing. And I'll have to listen to that with a closer ear. So thank you. That'll be my homework from this. Well, that's a great closing thought right there. But I mean, is there anything else as we wrap this up? Is there anything else that you want to share or that you want to mention that we didn't get a chance to mention?
Yeah, I think that this is a critical skill for internal auditors. You can know as much about topics as you want to and risk management theories, et cetera, but report writing, especially if you want to develop your career and get to the high levels and write committee reports, going to senior places, you've got to get really good. The best thing you can do is read yourself. If you read more, you will write better. I absolutely guarantee it. I'm a massive fan of Agatha Christie novels, crime novels. I'll read loads, Frederick Forsyth, Tom Clancy, all that. And you get a real sense for individual styles, how they get to the point with things. But read, whether it's books, whether it's journals, whatever it is, the more that you read, the better writer that you will become. So if I've got one thing to say and one overarching recommendation for people is read, and it'll make you a better writer.
I love that so much. And I'm a big reader myself. And I actually had an internal audit manager early on in my career put in my personal objectives to read a book a quarter. And I thought, that's weird, but it all comes together. And I agree with that. Could not agree with that more. So well, thank you so much, John. This has been very helpful. I was able to take away some key things myself, and I think you have a lot of very good perspective on audit reports and how to really get the message across in the succinct, relevant, timely way. So thank you for all your thoughts there. I'm sure our listeners will get a lot out of this as well. But if our listeners do want to hear more from you or find where you are, where can we find you?
The off chance that they do, you'll find me on LinkedIn. just drop me a connect or a message on there. That's great. Also, as I mentioned, big part of the Institute of Internal Auditors in the UK. We've got our Midlands region there. We have quite a few virtual events on there, which people can sign up to. And also there's the Aspire, the current network for early career internal auditors. So check out our website and you can find a bit more there as well.
And what's the website for that Chartered Institute of Internal Auditors?
I will not show my ignorance by just saying if you Google Chartered Institute of Internal Auditors, you'll find us pretty quickly.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, John. And thank you for your time today, your expertise, and sharing that with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ideagen Insights.